but spoiler.
Please be advised. Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert!
Spoiler alert!
Spoiler alert!
Spoiler app, Everest spoiler app. This is spoiler app number 36.
36. Nice. Last time we did one was Ant-Man.
Ant-Man. It's been a little bit. So anybody new, of course, we always got to make the disclaimer. This is a full spoiler app of Everest. We will be giving away the ending and everything else. So if you have not seen the movie, you might want to stop and watch it. And then come back to this. Or maybe you don't give a shit.
Or if you have no intention of seeing the movie.
Yeah, if you have no intention of seeing it, then this is what this,
this is for. You'll just kind of listen and see what you've... missed might be the wrong word, you'll get an idea.
Okay, so we talked about this on episode 289.
Yes.
We kind of split on it.
Yes. I haven't changed my mind.
In
30 minutes.
That's you should have by now, Chris. You should have really redacted your stance on it. So let's go into what the whole movie is. Basically, it's about this actual team of people that went up in 1996.
And based on true events, based on true people, real people.
Actual people. Mm-hmm. It's a severe storm comes in and a bunch of people die.
Right.
It's basically this guy, these two expeditions on May 10th, 1996, ascending towards the summit of Mount Everest, the highest point on Earth.
Now, what was fascinating is the beginning, it said because of all these tours, it was something like 20 groups were there at the same time, and they were worried about it getting too crowded.
Yeah, that was what was so crazy. It was like...
they had to wait in line to use a ladder to cross a crevasse.
That was part of the issue is all these people were trying to get up there. And Jason Clark, who's a fine actor, plays this guy, Rob Hall. And it was his company that had been sending people up there. And he was sort of, they very much established, they give you a bunch of stats at the beginning of the movie.
Yes, which I liked all that.
It was really good. It was telling you how many people died when they first started going to Everest.
Right.
And then starting in like the 90s, no one, like they had increased safety measures and started using.
Because of these basically guided tours.
Yeah. These guided tours with like the best climbers on the planet, like,
right?
With all this experience and Jason Clark.
It'll cost you a pretty penny, but you might survive. So people started doing
$65,000.
It.
Like, I love how they wove that in there. It cost $65,000 to go up there, and they don't guarantee you getting to the summit.
Right. They want to get you back. Like one of the parts of dialogue was like, you know, you're paying me to get you back safely, not to get you to the top.
Yeah. So. They make it very clear. There's a guy, one of the actors who is Jonathan Hawks plays this. Actually, these are all real people. Plays this guy Doug Hansen, who's tried like three times, hasn't been able to make it. The last time, there's a scene in there where he says, "I was close," and then I had to turn around. And Brolin goes, who plays this guy,
the Texan,
who has a Bob Dole camp, has a Dole camp shirt from 1996, which is great.
Yeah, and it's weird. He's the American that's loud, arrogant, and annoying.
Which I've seen them when I've traveled.
Of course,
they
of course.
Exist.
I'm not saying it's not based in fact. I'm just saying, you know, cinematically, I'm tired of seeing the caricature of the dumb American tourist that's throwing around his ego and money.
Right. Which most people from Texas do.
Yes. but don't make his first lines of dialogue. I'm from Texas, born and bred, Texas.
Yeah, Texas. Texas toast.
Yeah.
Texas
come
toast.
Come on, I get it. I got it.
Texas. So there's a scene where John Hawks' character said, oh, you know, I had to turn back. And Brolin goes, why'd you turn back? And... Jason Clark goes, I made him turn back because, and that's when he says that line, which is,
yes.
You're paying me not to get to the summit, but to get you back alive.
Right.
It was past the point because, like, they make it very clear, 2:00. If you don't get up there by 2, you got to turn around and come back.
Right.
Because there just isn't enough time because it gets too dark, too cold, the temperature just plummets. So basically, a lot of these people die.
Yes.
Because this is what really happened.
Yeah, and it's also, you know, it also brings up the whole point of, like, you know, no one is forced at gunpoint to climb Mount Everest.
This is a choice,
and yeah, they actually paid to do it. And I get that the fact that there's many people that there are thrill seekers, you know, extreme sports, and the bigger the danger, the bigger the thrill.
Right.
Totally get that part of human nature.
And being able to say, I climbed Mount Everest, is like you are in a very, very small club.
Especially that Japanese mountain climber who climbed all the other summits. This was her last one.
She goes, I've done 6 of 7 summits.
Right.
And this was the one. She goes, I'm 47 years old, and I need to do this.
And really, it was set up for, these are all expert climbers, and ultimately, if we, you know, we get into the ending, is it was really the storm,
right?
That pretty much killed them. Now, there's not saying that somebody might have died along the way or lost fingers or toes or hands or whatever, but for the most part, it was the storm.
Yeah, it was the storm that killed people, and there was the thing where the John Hawkes character, and they keep showing the time.
Right, exactly.
It's like 3:15 and he's getting close to the summit, and Jason Clark comes up and goes,
we got to turn around. You can't make it.
He goes, come on.
Just let me go. Let me go to the top.
Let me get one more shot. And
that killed both of them. So it makes you wonder, like, if he had said no and they went back, would they be alive?
Yes, they would. Probably.
Yeah.
Maybe they would have got caught in the storm because it came up so quickly.
Because those other people went back and they got killed too.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. But there's a moment, and they did this moment where he goes, he looks at him and he goes, this is my last chance. Come on, man.
Right.
And okay.
Right.
And they go up there and they get to the summit and he goes, oh my God, I did it. And then his air starts and he's not doing well.
Now, let me ask you a question because it got a little confusing. This is one of the other things too, about, you know, some of the ways the movie was shot. Like, when everyone was bundled up, I had trouble remembering like who was in what color coat, you know, because you couldn't tell because with the wind and everyone's bundled up and then, you know, you could barely hear the voices. I'm like, wait, who is that again? Who is that? But one of the things it wasn't clear on to me is that near the summit, they were leaving oxygen tanks for on the way back. And then there was one guy checking them all saying that they were empty or they were half empty. Like, what happened there? Like, did someone forget to put oxygen up there? Did something happen to the tanks? Like, it was never really explained, like, what happened to that oxygen.
I was feeling the same thing. I was like, how I took it was, there were so many people, everyone was trying to get up there May 10th. There's that meeting where they all want to go up there May 10th. And
so it could have been another group that grabbed it.
Yeah, it could have just, like, it just was like, and part of it, to me, what they were saying was, there was a bunch of little the storm is the main reason, but then there's little factors like they weren't clear on who had tanks up there and where they were. They weren't, you know, he broke his rule of it's past 2 o'clock.
Right.
You had other little factors of no one had made it to the summit and the woman down at base camp who, she did a really good job. That was played by, was it Charlotte Boving? No, I'm sorry. She's in a bunch of stuff. Where is her?
Oh, the British actress.
The British actress. She was at base camp and did a really good job of sort of,
I know. I can see her right now.
I can see her face. It's driving me crazy. She's been in a million, she's been in a million things.
She played a
Emily Watson.
Yeah, she played a really good part, and also you could see the frustration in everyone's face where it's like, well, if we try to save people, then these people may die too. So it's all that like making those calls.
The business end of it, though, because these people paid $65,000,
right?
So. She's at base camp going, God, if he has to another year of no one getting to the summit.
Right.
What's his annual report going to look like?
Well, especially too, you got a journalist with you.
Yeah, you got a journalist with you. So there are some of these pressures. This guy, Doug, who missed it 3 times. There's a quick scene where he's walking with Rob, with Jason Clark's character. And he says, hey man, thanks for giving me the discount.
Right.
He says, hey man, you've been doing this.
You work 3 jobs or whatever.
You work 3 jobs. Yeah. We really appreciate you keep coming back here, you know? Because I'm sure there's plenty of people that went, I spent all this money, I tried to go, and then that was that.
Oh, there's plenty of people that do it once if they don't make it, like, I'm not doing that again.
Yeah. I have no desire to ever try to do that after watching this movie.
You know what I had the desire to? We talked about it on the regular episode. I would love to see Nepal and see those monasteries. And at best, I should say, I would go to the first base camp just to see it, because that's kind of a tourist attraction too, just to see the first one.
Right.
But even then, it's so high up, you still got to acclimate to it. In fact, they show Josh Brolin's character, where he's like, I thought I'd be acclimating quicker, like even like at the lower elevations. And I will say, at the end, when he just gets up and walks back into camp, I had heard that story before. I knew that somebody had done that. Like, I had heard that, like, his story has been told before, where it's like everyone just left him for dead and no one was coming for him. And he just literally got up and walked and no one knew how he was still alive.
Yeah, nobody did.
Yeah.
And he lost his... The thing that was so compelling for me was... They make his nose all frost. It's all horrifying. His fingers. And then they show the actual picture where he meets his wife, the actual guy. He lost his fucking nose.
Right. Like, and his hands.
And his hands. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he had severe frostbite. Like, his skin was black.
Right.
Because it had just frozen and died.
Yeah.
And nobody knows how. And I think, to me, why I did like it is it when people, like... They talked about earlier of all the things that can happen. Like, there's that scene with the doctor and where your brain, I forget the name of it, but like your brain starts to like swell or something like that. And people have hallucinations.
Or they get really hot. So they start taking their coats.
They take
stuff,
taking their coats off. The thing I liked is they're sitting.
A lot of it's oxygen.
It's oxygen deprivation. And your brain is basically like suffocating or something because it doesn't have enough oxygen. And
you're not supposed to be there. You're not supposed to be on top of Mount Everest.
And he says it. He goes, you're at an altitude your body is literally dying.
Right.
You know, to get up there. You're climbing at the cruising altitude of a 747, you know? Yeah. So he says, the thing I liked was...
There's always the sage Russian, too. The mountain always has the last word.
Yeah. There was this. The mountain will always talk to you the right way, whatever. Like, there's always that.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, they're waiting. They're up there, and everyone is summited, which is a very emotional scene. When everyone gets to the top, the Japanese woman, it's emotional. Like, holy shit, what they've accomplished. And... So then they're all trying to get back down, and there's a scene where he's waiting with a guy, and all of a sudden you see that guy just get up, take his clothes off, and fall off the side.
Yeah, yeah.
Here's what I liked about that. They didn't do slow-mo. They didn't have musical bum, bum, bum. And right. Whoa, no.
Yeah, the guy just showing it realistically. I will say I did like that, yeah.
It was like, where, and that's how it would happen.
Right. You just get blown off the side and no one would ever see you.
No one would ever see you. And your buddy wouldn't go, Steve, no. He would just go, oh.
Right, and because the visibility is so bad, you wouldn't even notice right away.
You wouldn't even notice, man. Like, a guy is 15 feet ahead of you and you're screaming at him. He can't hear you.
Right.
And he just keeps walking. Like, that kind of stuff. And when the guys got down to the first base camp and they were barely alive and they were just like, there's people up there. And they just had these looks in their eyes like, I can't do it. You know, there was no... And if the Beck guy from Texas didn't actually get up in real life and everyone, you know, that story you've heard, that didn't actually happen...
No one would have believed
it. No one would
movie.
Believe it. Yeah. If you put it in a movie, you would not believe it. Mm-hmm. You'd be like, bullshit.
Yeah.
So... I think they did a good job of. I didn't feel like I was watching an action movie.
No, neither did I, and that was good. But I will say my biggest complaint with it was just story progression and the way it was shot. And ultimately, I think if this script and this budget,
it's a $55 million.
$55 million, yeah, it was not a cheap movie to make, but it was still it looked cheap in parts, and that was one of the problems I had with it.
It wasn't $100 million,
right? And I think this type of movie. Would have been better with a more seasoned filmmaker. And I don't even know if you needed to really jump the budget as much. I think you needed to maybe use the money a little more wisely, mm-hmm. perhaps. But let's say this was a movie made by a more seasoned filmmaker. I think it would have been better, and I think it would have looked better and even looked a little more realistic. Like even like a Sam Mendes or somebody right. like that, if he would have directed this film, I think it would have resonated a little bit more, especially personally. But also, I think just the way it was shot. And I will say this about filmmakers, too. These movies are not easy to make.
No way.
They're not at all. And to make them look good and make them look right and also keep that human compelling element to it. It's not an easy thing. You've got to get almost like a Spielberg from 20 years ago,
right,
that that can do both large and small moments and piece them together for a movie like this. And I just don't think he was up to the job.
I guess to me, the small moments resonated a little more.
Like, okay, that's fair.
Like when Jason Clarke's character was stuck up there and they're like, you got to come down. And so they call his wife to talk, and they're like, the wife is going to get him down.
Which they did twice.
Well, the second time they knew he was going to die. And the second time was like, let's make him say goodbye to his wife.
Right.
And the thing I liked was if it was a Hollywood action movie, he would have gotten up and he would have done it. No, he didn't. It's 30,000 feet or whatever.
Yeah, his body was dying.
His body didn't have enough.
He didn't have the oxygen, and there was nothing he could do.
And the wife saying, "I love you. Come home. You got to come home to meet your daughter." Is not enough when when your body is just shutting down.
If there wasn't a storm. You know, they could have. You know, they could have brought the oxygen back up to him. I mean, it was all like you were saying. All these things happen. It was the time, the storm, the oxygen not being available, and it was.
It was like too like so. So that second scene. Where and just the you know, Emily Watson flipping out a little bit in the tent, and then the reality of, and they have a board of all the hikers, and they're like, take, you know, this guy didn't make it, this guy didn't make it.
Mm-hmm.
She's got to call.
Got to call the families.
Got to call the families, and then when it's like the team that's coming up there to bring him tanks goes, we can't get up there.
Right.
They radio down, and then it's just like.
And even getting the helicopter up there, I thought that was a good scene. Like, they show how impossible it is to get a copter up there.
And they had to pull all to lighten it, because they're like, we can't get up there, so they pull all the seats out and pull everything on one pilot.
And also, you know, too, that attempt was only made because of, like, some government and embassy calls.
Yeah.
Yeah, by the Texans family.
By the rich Texans family.
Yeah, by the rich Texans family, exactly.
So that, to me, like, and then just the stark reality of, you know, the Japanese woman's body is just frozen to death.
Right.
This other guy that is...
And you can't bring those bodies down.
No.
Like they said, they're still up there.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm sure they're well-preserved, too. Yeah. You're going to see them going up and going down.
Well, they did that. There was a scene where they were on the ascent, climbing.
At the beginning,
and you just saw a frozen body just sitting there, and you're just like, holy shit.
There's nothing they can do.
They're done. It's just stuck up there, and your body's dead up there. And so, like, they had a monument... And it felt like they shot at this at the actual places, the Monument of Dead Hikers or whatever, dead climbers. And it was like, man, I'd like to see that.
Right.
Just how intense that must be. What was the other moment I wanted to talk about? And Jake Gyllenhaal is the rogue guy, and he's
the hipster climber.
Yeah, and he dies.
Yeah.
You know, he knows everything about everything, and he's dead.
Well, and also, too, because he clearly physically wasn't up to it because he's, you know, injecting himself and he's out of breath, and he pushed it, and it's almost like a rivalry with the other company, and it ultimately kills him.
Well, it showed you all these other little factors, you know, pushing it, money.
Right. Like they were fighting over the journalist. Like, you took my journalist. No, it's cool. I'm like, look, she went with me. Like it was an interesting moment at the beginning. Like you could tell that was a sore spot, but it was also like, there's also other journalists. This is a national, there's not going to be one journalist that's going to go to Everest. And what I love too is, they acknowledged that there was an IMAX crew there. There's always an IMAX crew.
Right.
And we're shooting Everest and stuff. And that was one of the reasons I thought I felt they really could have incorporated more amazing footage from the mountain. The footage exists. You know, it's already been shot. You know, license it or whatever. And, you know, make that as put that in with your backdrop of them being in the sound stages up top.
Right.
So. Right. I just didn't like the way it was shot. I think if in the hands of another filmmaker, and this will not be the last Everest film, believe me. It's like one of those. It's like a football movie. Every few years, another one's going to come out
because there's got to be a dozen
more stories or whatever.
Crazy stories.
Yeah, and it's also one of those things where there's just an appetite for it because it's a real life adventure. Mm-hmm. There's always going to be an interest in seeing and hearing about
it. Did you like Keira Knightley as his wife, the pregnant wife?
You know what? I did. She, I liked her. I found her actually believable. She's actually a decent actress. Mm-hmm. She's just gotten into some weird roles that haven't really showcased her talent, but I thought she did a good job. But, you know, rather large age difference, again, with Hollywood casting. Like, she's actually still pretty young, and Jason Clarke's fairly older.
Right.
and it's their first child. So, and it's funny, too, you see, when they see the real people, it's like, oh, those ages are look a little different than that.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't know. I know it's like a staple of true stories, but I just like it when you show me the picture of the actual
I like
people.
It, too. I mean, that really, and the thing that I did like about it, too, is that there was some effort to recreate that iconic photo that they took at the beginning.
Yeah, they took Adventure right. Consultants, and then yes. they showed that actual
photo
of uh-huh. everybody, and you're like, wow.
Yeah, and also a lot of the actors and actresses resembled the real mm-hmm. people, which was cool, too. Not all of them, but, you know, some of them did.
And then you know, Keira Knightley is pregnant with a daughter, and he's like, I want to call her Sarah, and she's like, Sarah?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not calling her Sarah. So then they show the photo of Sarah, who was born in 96, who's now 19 years old.
Right, right.
And I looked in the credits. She was very helpful for this film in terms of getting, you know, actual footage or mm-hmm. whatever she did.
Right.
So I liked all that. And I liked, you know, I mean, the 47-year-old Japanese woman, you know, the photo of her and each of the people that actually died, showing the actual person, like, on you know, at base camp, like,
right.
all fired up. We're going to do this.
Yeah, and there's no way we're going to die.
And it's like...
Like, because you also have that confidence of them. It wasn't anybody's like first climb, at least not in that group that they showed us.
Right.
It was like you get the impression that everyone's experienced experts and stuff, like, so everyone has that, and justifiably so, that mm-hmm. confidence that this is just going to be kind of an awesome adventure, that the danger isn't as bad as, you know, obviously it was.
Yeah, that was the other thing. The movie did a good job, I thought, of saying... you have such a small margin of error.
Right.
You cannot screw up here or you're going
to
die.
Again, I'd like to see another filmmaker just do the second half of the film again. So, but, you know, we actually have a sponsor for this, the spoiler app, a new sponsor.
What?
I know, crazy. ParachuteHome.com. But they don't sell parachutes.
What? Now, wouldn't a parachute insane? Have helped him get off of Everest?
Definitely, yeah. You could, or, you know, one of those skis with the parachutes to slow you down. It's a new extreme sport, paraskiing.
Yeah.
This is ParachuteHome.com. Now, here's the thing. We had another sponsor that you got a free bed.
Yes.
Right? So now I'm thinking, well, you're buying beds online. Now it's sheets. They sell sheets online. So, and they sent me the sheets, and I will say, they're extremely comfortable. They're really good. They're long staple Egyptian cotton. They're manufactured in a mill in Tuscany that's been weaving bedding for nearly 80 years. And then they send them right to your door. Now, they cut out the licensing and distribution fees, so you get it for less. But one of the things I do like about these smaller companies, and I think they're based in Venice, too. Wasn't that...
Venice, California. Yeah,
Venice, California.
Venice Beach.
Yeah, Venice Beach. The smaller companies are a little more socially conscious. Like the publisher of our book, Morgan James, gives money to Habitat for Humanity mm-hmm. for every book sold, which is awesome. Like this company gives back by the United Nations Foundation's Nothing But Nets to deliver life-saving malaria prevention bed nets to those in need. So that I always like doing business with a company like that because, you know, they're paying it forward.
Yeah, that's what you should be doing.
Right. You know, if you're a giant corporation, you're making a lot of money, make the world a better place a little bit. Don't just sell cigarettes.
Yeah, to children.
Yes. So, but I really, like I said, I really liked they have a lot of stuff. They have sheets and they also have, I believe, comforters. But I wanted the sheets because we already have a comforter. And now, this is an interesting statistic. It says 40% of Americans sleep without a top sheet. I think that's bullshit. When I have sheets set, I like a top sheet.
I get a top sheet.
Yeah.
I always go top sheet.
Yeah, I don't know. That's some weird, you know, young people thing. You know, you guys...
With the hula hoops
and
the rock
and roll
music.
Crazy. I don't like it. I don't care for it. And they're rock
candy. Get a top
candy.
Sheet like a goddamn adult.
Yeah, come on. You know, you're not a savage.
And so what's the website?
The website is ParachuteHome.com. So it's ParachuteHome.com. But... Why would we let you pay full price? That's crazy.
Don't.
Go to parachutehome.com/CFN, and Parachute will give you $25 off your first order.
So you guys are getting $25 off. Yeah. You're buying some good sheets from a company here right in Southern California that they give a little money to the UN to help stop malaria.
But get the top sheet. Seriously. Don't be
like
a weirdo.
Fucking wolf.
Yeah. So parachutehome.com/CFN. Use the promo code CFN and Parachute will give you $25 off the first order.
All right.
Sheet work it.
Sheet work it. Hashtag sheet work it. All right. So what else? Anything else with you want to talk about with the good people at Everest?
The good people at Everest. I will say the casting was very good.
Casting was very good.
You know, there was definitely a rather large casting budget.
And they cast a lot of actual Sherpas and stuff like that, which was really cool to hear them talk, to see the strategy discussions they had to have before they made the ascent.
And how maybe there was some rivalry and they don't know, all the Sherpas didn't get along, which was really interesting. And I'm like, this is a life and death situation. Do you have really time for petty squabbles? And apparently the answer is yes.
Yes, they do. They human sure beings do. Always have the time for that nonsense.
Good for us.
Way to go, humans. But that was interesting to me too, is to see, like, I don't know this subculture at all. I'm not a climber. I don't know.
You're not a Sherpa.
I'm not a Sherpa. But then seeing, like, you know, when they have that log jam at the bridge, that was terrifying.
Yes.
And that's when we find out how much each one paid.
Right.
Because Josh Brolin goes,
this is like, we had a line at Walmart.
Like, I made 65 grand away to Marmar at Walmart. I know. You can't guarantee the summit. I get it, but I'm not fucking waiting in line at Walmart for 65 grand or whatever.
Right.
So that was cool. So Jason Clark tries, you know, hosts the, like, you know, base camp town hall meeting, and the South Africans are like, fuck you, man. You're just here for the money. You're not going to tell us how to do this.
Right.
You don't get this. And he's like, I'm not. I'm just asking. And then they're like, fuck all. So there's all this jockeying and politics.
And it made perfect sense. It's like, of course, this is for everyone's safety. So we don't have 1,000 people up at the summit at the same time. And one of the things we didn't mention, too, is when they were getting closer to the summit, the ropes weren't there. There was an issue there was something else where they had split the duties where all the ropes to climb up there were supposed to be, and they weren't there. So it wasn't really clear, too, like, who exactly dropped the ball on that, but they had to be repaired, and they lost time to get up there for that.
All these little things
that added up.
And if the giant storm wouldn't have happened, they probably could have done okay.
Right.
But when a giant storm happens, you can't screw up at all.
Right.
So, but it was interesting. I recommend seeing it on a big screen. If you are
Everesty,
if you are Everestified, then I would see it on a big screen. They did make it in 3D. I don't know that you need.
No, you don't.
No, but it was cool.
And it makes you cold.
Makes you cold. I was definitely cold. All right, but anything else?
I think we pretty much covered it.
All right, that's spoiler app 36, Everest climate. so that's our episode.
We're going to be doing a couple more coming up too, especially now that there's more quality films coming out. We'll be doing
Oscar
more
movies.
Spoilers.
We're going to start doing some more Oscar spoilers. So stick around for more of those, guys. And of course, like us on the iTunes and the Facebook.
Yeah, good reviews on iTunes definitely help for sure. And like we said before, you know, spend money in the store. But if you're buying something on Amazon or iTunes, go through our affiliate links, and that'll help us out too. You're going to buy that stuff anyway.
Go through iTunes.com/CFN and see all of our. If you go through our iTunes page, then we get a taste of anything you buy in there.
And you can also see our movie recommendations, too. We've got some big studio ones, but we also have some cool indies you may not have heard of, like Ink, which is an amazing low-budget film. And also Versus. If you want to see a crazy martial arts movie, watch Versus. It's got like something like assassins, zombies, swordsmen, a little bit of time travel, a gate to hell, and a forest. Everything you want in a crazy martial arts movie. So check out Versus.
All right, guys. Well, that's our episode. My name is Graham Elwood.
And I'm Chris Mancini. And as always, remember, Han shot first. Parachute sheets.